Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm back in the studio with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins. Team,
so good to be here back in the studio, yeah. Dave and Jess. Jess,
yep.
I'm just keen to catch up, you know?
Yeah.
Away from the prying eyes of all those listeners.
It is.
It's just the three of us again. Just the three of us.
How do we know when our jokes are bombing?
It's the best thing. We can live in blissful ignorance again.
Because most of mine, they felt like they did.
I felt like I've been killing this whole episode.
It was a very smiley crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't necessarily always come across, but geez, they smiled so hard.
God, they did.
And those quiet moments, they were grinning. Yeah. Big time.
They were quiet laughing, is what they were doing.
I felt like the our techs could have turned up the smile level.
Yeah.
The audience.
Yeah, that's blame the techs.
That was them, not us.
Yeah, that's definitely them.
So if you listened to the episode and thought, well, the audience didn't like that. No, they did.
Did you have a favourite of the live episodes?
I thought favourite audience member.
Oh, I definitely
Let's go through and name them and rank them.
Okay, Kieran.
No, I'm not sure.
Because I was really mean to Kieran, and I hope he knows I was kidding. I had to rush off immediately after that show.
You were kidding.
I didn't get a chance about to apologise. Yeah, well, I didn't have to point him out in front of anybody. But I know Kieran, and I reckon he was like, nah, she's all right.
I think my favourite was maybe your Coke episode, Dave, maybe. I can't remember them all that
sure.
well. But I recall that being fun. And the Saints won that day.
Right, that's what you recall.
That's
what you recall. I enjoyed Jess's Bindi Irwin rant on your Steve Irwin episode.
I enjoyed
Matt.
That too.
Yes, that was probably a
That
highlight.
Felt cathartic,
I enjoyed
to be honest,
that as
yeah.
well. I enjoyed becoming one with the crowd.
Yeah, the first one where you joined then, that was
episode
fun.
Episode about the Cray twins.
Yeah.
Now, we mentioned all these moments.
What a great time to reminisce.
Now, we're reminiscing because all you people that somehow don't like live episodes and decided to stick with just studio episodes, we'll talk about how good those live apps were, so you go back and check them out.
Oh
smart, smart, smart.
So man,
smart.
I'm the marketing legend. I'm crazy.
Crazy twin.
So we're back. We're back.
And so last week, if you did listen to the Loch Ness episode, Jess was supposed to report but got ill.
Oh.
So I jumped in and I did that. So that means, Jess, it's actually your turn.
Yep. I'm taking back the reins because
I'm pretty happy about it. I don't have to do anything.
I was very, very sick.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was going to die, to be honest. I was sitting at my desk and I was like, my head was in my hands and I was like, I can't move. And then Dave came to my rescue and was like, JP, mate, I got this. And you did the report and I went and had a nap. And Matt set up for the live show and I turned up at the last minute. So I still obviously did a great job.
But I did also say to you that one day, and this day may never come, I may come to you with a favour.
You're going to give her a favour? You're going to do a favour? Oh, no. Hopefully this day never comes and I might do you another favour one day.
I'm the reverse godfather. I already did you a favour and one day I'm going to give you a second favour. And you're going to live on the edge.
Because I'm a nice guy.
Kindness could be coming any minute now.
Oh, no. It's very overwhelming.
See that free milk in the fridge? That was me. Goodbye. straight out the door.
Noticed you needed toilet paper. Went and bought you some. Bye.
That is not kind. That is weird. Yeah. I've noticed your toilet paper's down. And I've been noticing that you're using a lot more than usual. Is everything okay?
What are you eating? Mm. Are you getting enough fiber or too much?
Let's go through a meal
plan.
I'm
not enjoying this direction.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, sorry, we've been rambling enough. Shall we get into the report then?
Yes, we shall. So if you have graced us with your listening ears for the first ever time, the show where we is where we report on a topic, just as turn, as I said, and we get onto that topic with a question. Matt and I don't know what the topic's going to be, so it could be anything.
Can I also point out that traditionally, over the last sort of, I'd say 6 months, I have not been writing questions until I get into the studio and I go, fuck, because Dave goes, we always start with a question, and I go, fuck, I haven't written a question. This time, I have written a question.
Oh, shit.
I'm impressed, I am.
This is growing up. I am a grown up.
Yeah.
I did it. I mean, I can't pay rent, but I wrote a question.
I think in a lot of ways, this is true adulthood.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for acknowledging that. So my question to you is...
Great. She's already laughing.
Who is the most misunderstood pirate of the 17th century?
Oh, no.
I didn't say it was a good question.
I was going to say, Jess, really, you built it up a lot. And then that was the question.
I never said it was a good
question. I mean, the only ones I know are the ones with colours in their name. Are they any of them real? Bluebeard, Blackbeard.
Is Bluebeard a thing? No.
Yeah, Bluebeard. That's from that.
Redhead.
Redbeard.
That's matches.
The most misunderstood pirate. I think the most misunderstood pirate could be, well, someone who's not actually a pirate.
Correct.
Oh.
Well, people
what
argue.
What about Christian
that
Fletcher?
No.
From The Mutiny on the Bounty. Was that?
I haven't done a spin-off episode of one of yours, funnily enough. To be fair, I hadn't heard of this person.
Jonathan Depp.
No, it's not Jonathan Depp, okay. Nor is it Orlando Bloom.
And there's no colour in their name?
No colour in the name.
No.
Do they have beard in their name? Because that family of beards, they were, a lot of them became pirates. I think the beard family were big into it.
You grow up, yep.
Where was the joke going there, Dave?
It was going straight to midnight.
Okay.
Is that good?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, what if
Midnight is the best.
All right, live show right now, silence. The crowd is smiling right now.
I'm standing up and I'm about to go on some. I'm going to try and win them back with a bit of hand action, you know?
What?
Yes, I'm going to give them a hand job. No. I mean, I'm going to go a little bit crazy, form some sort of la da 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 da, put on a little show. Suddenly they think that it's not about comedy anymore. It's now about dance.
Dave, take future Dave, tree time. Take the
Yeah, car. Yeah. Crash the car.
Veer violently. Off.
Well, I'll give myself a soundtrack to crash to. Bum, bum, bum,
oh, that's haunting.
Start spreading the news.
I'm already dead.
Dave's dead today.
Now, let me... So, the most misunderstood pirate.
Oh, this is still, yeah.
Would
Dave have any chance of knowing? I don't think so.
Well, I hadn't heard of this, and then I started reading, and I was like, this is a pretty cool story. So, and 17th century, I mean, I know you're... Really across.
That is the golden age of piracy, I will tell you.
Which is what years, Matt?
That is the 1600 to 1699.
Correct.
You nailed it.
Oh, I tried to fuck it up.
Well, it might be to 17. Anyway, but I had to look it up just to be sure because I'm always confused as well and I know you are too. Anyway.
All right, 21st Century Fox, and that's from now. This is the 2000s. Okay, so you go one back, right? But unless...
What's 21st Century Fox?
That's the company, isn't it?
It's 20th Century Fox.
Well, it was in the 20th century, and now it's 21st Century Fox.
This guy.
I don't think they rebranded.
I'm so sorry, Dave. Just do your homework or fuck off.
Just shut the fuck up. Great.
That's embarrassing.
Okay, well, how about I ask you then if you've ever heard of Captain William Kidd?
Billy the Kid.
It's not Billy the Kid.
Willie the Kid.
Oh, Willie the Kid.
Also, I just wanted, like, I started to read it. I was like, this is an interesting story. And then realized I would get to say Captain Kidd a lot. And I enjoyed that.
I think I've heard of Captain Kidd.
Captain Kidd? I also just like to imagine like a tiny little, like a toddler in a big captain's hat. And he's like, fire the cannons after nap time.
That's where the confusion came from.
Where is my blankie? Because he needs a little blankie for his nap. Captain, because he's a kid captain. He's a kid, but he's a captain of the ship.
Is he any relation to the Milky Bar kid?
Yes.
Oh, because the milk's on you, Dick, but the Milky Bars are on me. Which now is a very strange phrase to yell at
the
an adult.
The milk's on you, Dick. Oh, dear.
Remember that?
No, don't at all.
Do you remember the ads? Milky Bar
I remember
kid.
The Milky yeah, yeah. Bars are on me.
That's
I can't remember that.
He'd like take out, it's that thieving Dick again. Then he'd take him out and go, he'd get milk on him somehow.
The
milk's on you,
Dick.
Is this during our childhood?
Oh, yeah, this is 90s. Tweet in. I reckon it was big in the US as well. Tweet in if you remember this ad to make me look less insane than I already
but
do.
But, like, why would they use the name Dick of all names you could choose?
A little bit of comedy.
But that's inappropriate.
You think that thieving Dick is inappropriate?
I think milk's on you, Dick.
Milk's on you, Dick. I don't recall that at all. The Milky
Bars. Is it the milk's on your dick?
No.
Are you sure? Roll back the tape.
I will check.
The milk's on your dick. That's weird.
That is weird, Dave.
Anyway, we're taking a really long time to get into the report today.
Captain Kidd, I'm ready.
Sorry, guys. We're used to. It's kind of like we reined in for the live episodes, and now we've just gone too loose. All right, let's try and focus here, boys, okay?
I won't. I refuse.
All right, well, I tried. I should also mention this was suggested. This was suggested by Warren at Warhen Studios on Twitter.
I think it's actually 21st Century Warhen Studios. They changed their name. Is that correct? Tweet in.
I think it might be.
So, Warren.
Warren.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Warren.
Yeah, no, thank you. Great suggestion. Well, we'll soon find out, won't we?
I'm just excited. What made you pick this one? Just because you weren't familiar with the name and you thought you'd go with it?
Well, the way that he had written it was Captain William Kidd and then in brackets, Unlucky Pirate.
Oh, that. See, if you're thinking about trying to get a topic picked from the hat, you've got to start selling it. You've really got to start selling it. Warren has done the hard words. He's put the hard word on us.
And then I did a little bit of a Google and I was like, oh, what's going on here?
Oh, that's good.
Oh, and now here we are.
He's just a really bad gambler.
Yeah, he's just unlucky. He just keeps stepping on those little...
Black cats?
Yeah. keeps stepping on them.
I've killed another one. This is terrible.
Not again. So yeah, he just keeps stepping on and killing black cats. He's stomping cats to death.
Realistically... The black cats are the unlucky ones.
Aren't they? Sure. Yeah, that's true. Anyway,
I've got to dispose of another cat body.
Woe is me.
Cat cadaver.
Okay, so William Kidd was born in Dundee in Scotland on the 22nd of January 1654.
Oh, the 17th century.
Yes.
Oh, I get dates.
You get it. His father was Captain John Kidd, but spelt K-Y-D. He was lost at sea during a voyage. So his dad's lost at sea. Now, apparently...
But he was also a captain.
He was also a captain.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, the kid wasn't born a captain, was he? It was just William Kidd, K-I-double-D at this time.
Okay. I'm interested to know why he changed his name. Will that come up?
Maybe they weren't related.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just coincidental that his dad also was called Kidd.
Maybe it was pronounced differently.
Kide.
Mm. That sounds Scottish.
Yeah, it does.
Buoy.
Now, apparently a local society supported the Kidd family financially after the death of the father. I don't know what they mean by a local society, but I'm guessing like the community sort of helped support them.
Like I remember at the start of the Burke and Wills thing, there was like a group. I think maybe that's what it was. Like the, what was it? It was like the Scientific Society of Victoria or something.
Yeah.
So it might be
some sort of
an organization
thing. Because the tricky part about this is because it's so far back, obviously a lot of these, like we don't have a lot of information about his early life and there are some sort of disputed facts throughout the whole thing. But apparently a local society supported them. Now his origins, he listed his origins as Greenock. But these origins have been dismissed by David Dobson, who was somebody who was researching this. He found neither the name Kidd with K-I-double-D or K-Y-D were listed anywhere in the baptismal records. So he's like, well, I mean, you can't have been from there.
Yeah, unless he was a heathen.
Mm.
Heathen child.
The worst
Nick
of all
Cave
children.
Song.
I was going to say it's a good band name, but Nick Cave... got there with a song. Good on you, Nick Cave. Or Nick Cage.
Nick Cage. Not to be confused with.
Not the same. So, William Kidd later settled in the newly anglicised New York City. Are you familiar with New York City?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, you've heard of it?
So, pretty young you moved there.
I think, like, it doesn't say when, but I would say, I would say in his 20s.
Sweet.
New York City, David Letterman, mm-hmm. 30 Rock,
mm-hmm.
the Knicks.
Yep.
Patrick Ewing.
Yep.
The Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
With the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
The 54th Street.
Cool.
39th Street.
Yep.
68th
Here
Street.
Here we go. Strap in, everyone.
42 Street.
42 Street.
On the corner of West and 42.
The miracle on the mile. The miracle on the
Nile
river that the mustache man landed on. The river on the
Hudson?
Hudson.
Oh, mustache man. Gotcha. Okay.
Burger. What's his name?
What?
Sully.
Sully Burger.
Where's Delicious. The burger come from?
His name was Sully Burger. Sullen Burger.
Oh.
Which, it sounds, that's the worst description of a burger ever. I'll have a Sullen Burger, please. Oh.
I think that's all I got on New York City. Louis C.K.
There we go. He's back.
Comedy seller.
Uh-huh.
Chris Rock.
Yep.
Was there once.
What's
Maybe
a,
it's
what's
from
a,
there.
A big thing that's in there, like in the middle
Statue
of
Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
The Ground Zero.
Maybe somewhere you could go for a run.
The Central Park.
There we go.
Central Perk.
Oh, this is good.
This is good stuff.
Monica. Jack. Ross.
Jack? You went straight to Jack.
Is Jack? There'd be a Jack. Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
The blonde guy from the coffee shop.
Kramer.
Kramer. Oh, Seinfeld.
Oh, no. We're going to be here all day.
There's a lot of stuff in New York.
Oh, I reckon there's heaps, to be honest, yeah.
And you know one thing that's from there? This kid.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
See? Well, that ties in really nicely to all the stuff I was just saying.
So William Kidd, he moved over to New York City, and he befriended many prominent colonial citizens, including three governors.
Three? How many governors does the state of New York need?
More than three, apparently. Because if it was only three, it probably would have said all three governors.
He met all three governors. He met three of four governors. The fourth one had a very busy schedule.
And liked to stay inside. Was a bit of a germaphobe.
He wouldn't make any time for me.
Now, there's some publicised information that suggests that he was a Siemens apprentice.
Apprentice.
That means he's shit. He's not good at the
means
job
he doesn't
yet.
Get paid much yet. On a pirate ship.
Sounds like the milk's on his dick.
By 1689...
So he's an apprentice on a pirate ship?
Well, he's like an apprentice on a... Yeah, well, that's what some people say, but others...
Right. How is this he a misunderstood pirate? That's the path that any pirate needs to take.
No.
They become an apprentice, and then they become a pirate.
You do pirate TAFE.
Exactly. You do 4 hours of educational classes a week. They show you how to draw a cutlass and go, arrrr. And then 2 years later, qualified plumber. It's amazing. Every pirate ship needs a plumber.
You're not wrong.
It gets backed up back there.
I bet it bloody does. Hey, where did they go to the... I don't want to know. Anyway.
On the poop deck.
In a cannon. On the poop deck. Fire the poop.
Shat into a cannon.
Shat into a cannon.
It's not bad. Like, if you really want to fuck up your enemies.
Oh, poo-covered cannonball.
Be the worst.
But how do you get even coverage? You got to rotate the cannonballs every now and then.
That was one of the worst jobs.
What do you think the apprentices are doing on the ship? Rotating the cannonballs while the captain's got his pants down his neck.
I said job. Job means poo as well. So that worked.
The wee job it.
Your job is to do a job. And you're Scottish
after
all.
Scottish, I know. That's why I did it in a Scottish accent. And now it makes sense because I've definitely heard Billy Connolly talk about a wee jobby.
Wee jobby
and
a
now,
shoe.
Now, yeah.
The soccer.
That's right.
It's a very funny story.
God, he's a funny man. Anyway.
Bovril. He keeps talking about Bovril and a wee jobby and a shoe.
Anyway. So, by 1689, Kidd was a member of the French-English pirate crew sailing the Caribbean, during a voyage of which Kidd and other crew members mutinied, ousting the captain and sailing to the British colony of Nevis.
I won't handle your shit balls anymore.
Shit balls. Now,
so they got rid of him on the island of
Nevis. Do you know where Nevis is?
Yes, and Kitts and Nevis is now a West Indian country.
Correct. I had a feeling you would, but I had it written down anyway. But I was Caribbean. Like, geography boy's going to know.
Caribbean or Caribbean?
I would say Caribbean.
I say Caribbean, but I have a lot of respect for anyone who says Caribbean because it sounds so much cooler.
It's so much cooler.
Caribbean.
But we are just not cool.
I'm not sure which is the right way.
Well, I think it probably depends on your accent. I don't think we're saying it a wrong way. We're saying it differently. Different doesn't mean wrong.
Oh.
In my books, it does.
Sometimes when it is. When one thing is definitely right, then the other way is wrong. But I don't know if that isn't the case in this case.
Can I go on?
Do you say Caribbean, Matt?
I'm not sure. I asked that. I'm like, I'm not sure.
You've never said it out loud before.
Yeah.
Avoided it.
I think Pirates
have
of
a go.
What are they saying, Pirates of the Caribbean?
I don't know if anybody
says... They say
says...
Caribbean. I reckon I thought it was Caribbean until Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, because they don't start the movie by saying, welcome to the sixth installment of Pirates of the Caribbean.
I don't think people anybody started in saying there says Caribbean. Like,
yeah, I don't think...
film.
I've never heard people say Pirates of the Caribbean, though.
Yeah.
But if you hear... Anyway, this is... the worst derailing of the show that I've ever been involved in. And I've been involved in them all.
Actually true.
Oh, yeah, you're the only one who has, aren't you?
Yes. I believe so.
Good for you.
Or unless you listen to Mesa, who says that the only actual episode's the ones with him on it.
Oh, true.
We're only up to 4 episodes.
Okay. Anyway, you've still been on all of them?
Yes.
Fucking idiot.
Oh, do go on.
Right, so when they were, they'd parked the ship in Nevis.
Wow, you did a lot of research on this. Matt's backing it up. How am I doing back there, boys?
He's reverse parallel parking a ship.
How much room I got?
Did you pull the little toot toot?
Yeah, you got it.
You got it. You got to let people
That's
know.
That's a success toot.
What's a failure toot?
Toot, toot, toot. The third
toot,
one.
Toot, toot. You gotta pull 3 times.
So they've parked the ship.
They've parked the ship in Nevis. They renamed the ship Blessed William, and Kidd became captain, either as a result of election by the ship's crew or by appointment of Christopher Cordington, who was governor of the island of Nevis at the time. In any case, Captain Kidd, who was an experienced leader and sailor by that time, took the Blessed William, or Blessed William, Blessed. And it's
I reckon
crew.
Blessed feels,
feels right.
Right.
Blessed William.
Blessed Caribbean.
And its crew, and became part of Cordington's small fleet that was assembled to defend Nevis from the French, with whom the English were at war. The governor did not pay the sailors for their defensive services, telling them instead to take their pay from the French. It's like, go looting, boys.
Take your pay. We're not going to pay you, but go steal some stuff.
Correct.
So we could have done that anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't have to just work all this time for you to tell us that.
That's a good point.
Can we have a salary as well?
Yeah.
Whatever we get's a bit of a bonus.
Yeah. Can we work on a base salary and commission?
Yeah, that would be good.
That'd make more sense. You know, I got mouths to feed, i.e. mine. Kidd and his men then attacked the French island of Marie Galante, destroying its only town and looting the area and gathering for themselves something around £2,000.
It's all right. I'm getting paid.
But that's in 1600.
£2,000. So they've gotten paid a lot.
If I did some looting and walked out with £2,000, Australian dollars, conversion rate, let's just say $4,000 Australian, right? Just for that. I'd be pretty freaking stoked. And it's not 1689.
It isn't.
It isn't at the moment, no. So
there you go.
If that money back then must have been a lot, was my point.
I reckon it's millions.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That sounds like a lot of money.
That's heaps.
But I don't know how many the crew is. It's probably going to share it between 40 people, but...
Oh, that was an each.
No.
But even millions split by the crew, that's still pretty good.
Oh, I'd still pay that.
Assuming that our assumption that it's worth millions now is...
What was that little laugh you did? Like, I was just...
I don't recall it at all.
Assuming, oh dear. Oh, how... Oh, cheeky.
Well, I entirely don't remember that, which is concerning, because it was seconds ago.
Came out of your mouth, Matt.
Oh no, it was one of those laughs. Like, I mean, I'm going to say something.
I'm the worst.
A bit scandalous here.
And I didn't, did I?
You didn't at all. No, it was quite a reasonable point to make.
I might have had a little stroke.
You are at that age.
Yes. Just a little one. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Except strokes.
Medically inaccurate.
So later, during the War of the Grand Alliance, also known as the 9-Year War, guess how long that lasted for?
Probably.
They're not always.
No, they're definitely not.
It wasn't 9. I'd still guess 9, because anything else would be a real roll of the dice.
Are you going to look? Do you know?
No, I have got it. It's 9 years.
It was actually 9.
You were getting your laptop open to check because you didn't believe that I would have. Like, why would I ask a question if I didn't have the answer?
Jess, we've already established you're terrible at asking questions.
That's a very good point. I'm not a good communicator.
But it was 9 years.
9 years.
I like when they accurately name it.
Me too.
It makes way
it's
more
like
sense. 90 to
Mile
me.
Beach isn't 90 miles, is it?
Yeah, why?
And the
why
12
are you
apostles,
a stab at it?
There are not 12.
They're down to 5, I think.
Yeah. Anyway.
No good.
No good at all.
That's a rock formation in Victoria. Not. Yeah. I think there are 12 apostles.
Yeah, they're definitely all
the
long
Bible.
Dead.
If anyone's been confused.
Someone's like, hang on a second. Is Peter alive?
Not in my world. They're all alive. In my heart.
Oh, boy. Anywho, so later, during the 9-Year War, they were sent out from the provinces of New York and Massachusetts Bay. Kidd captured an enemy privateer off of the New England coast. Now, a privateer was, this is how they how it's explained, is a private person or ship that engaged in maritime warfare under a commission of war. I've got more about that later
person
as well.
Person or ship.
Yeah, you could
what
be
a broad title.
Yeah.
All right, privateer reporting for duty.
Are
you a person or a ship? Please fill out this form.
Depending on which one you are, will depend on what uniform we give you.
Do you need a new lick of paint?
You need an extra, extra large.
He was awarded £150 for successful privateering in the Caribbean.
So that's from he stole someone else's ship?
Yeah, so they basically just go around stealing each other's boats. It's real cool. I'll talk about it a little bit more later as well. And like, there's like documentation they need to. It's so fun. Anyway,
why would anyone think this man is a pirate?
I don't know. 1 year later, Captain Robert Culliford, who was a notorious pirate, stole Kidd's ship while he was ashore at Antigua.
Oh.
He was ashore, just enjoying, I don't know, some beach. He's buying some things at the market.
What about the pirate's code? You don't steal another pirate's ship.
Yeah, but he's not. But Kidd isn't technically a pirate.
By the way, there is no pirate's code. They're fucking pirates.
Oh, yeah, no, I get the joke there.
I felt like there'd be a pirate's code.
Yeah.
Well, isn't there.
Parlay.
Isn't the thing they say there is honour amongst thieves?
Yeah, Dave.
There is no honour amongst thieves.
No honour amongst thieves, right. Well, that's the opposite.
Yeah. I've definitely misunderstood that.
That has definitely cleared that up then. Now, in May of 1691, Kidd married Sarah Bradley Cox Oort. OORT.
Kidd Cox. Cox Kidd.
What? Yep.
I was just hyphenating.
Oh, okay. Give me another name. She was an English woman in her early 20s who had already been twice widowed and was one.
Fuck
was one
hell.
Of the wealthiest women in New York, largely because of her inheritance from her first husband.
Oh, she yeah. killed.
She's widowed twice in her early 20s.
Yeah, is she marrying like 80-year-old oil tycoons or something?
I reckon she's got a poison puss.
The best part for me was the regret face.
He was like,
you make that same face after you
poison
engage.
Yeah. This is like, was that okay?
It was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's,
I knew it was either funny or awful or both.
Well, sometimes they can be both.
Yeah. I'm in the both camp.
No, I thought it was pretty funny. So yeah, he's married now. And
to the poison puss.
He's married to the poison puss.
The PP, let's call her.
No, I would really rather not. She's a person. Let's just call her Sarah. How about
all
that?
All right, PPP, person with the poison puss. Happy?
I think that's a nice compromise.
Yeah, thank you. So Triple P's married our man, Captain Kidd.
I don't know about that. Okay, yes, that happened, right? And so that was just a little side note. You got married. Anyway, in 1695, so that was a couple of years later, he got married in 91, so the, a few years later in 95.
He's really hanging on.
What do you mean?
Well, obviously they haven't,
oh,
you know,
consummated
the marriage.
Because he's still alive.
He's still alive, and she's like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, why won't he? No, nah, not going there.
He might have,
oh no,
the dick antidote.
I finally met my match. And that's why they call him Captain Kidd. He was the first superhero.
Nothing to do with his shipping. So, 95, William III of England appointed Richard Coote, who was the first Earl of Bellomont, as the governor in place of the corrupt Benjamin Fletcher, who was known for accepting bribes to allow illegal trading of pirate loot. So many fun words in this. Loot is so fun.
Loot's a lot of fun.
And also some great names. So Richard Coote said no to loot. That's...
Is that how you remember it? One of those things to remember him forever?
Yes.
So when you're doing the exam on this, Richard Coote said no to loot. Bang. A. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
The question was, who said no to loot? You were like, I think I know this.
Meanwhile, in New York City, Kidd was active in building of the Trinity Church in New York. Quite a famous church. It's located near the intersection of Wall Street and Broadway. And
that's one of the few things that Matt didn't mention was Trinity Church.
Yeah, Matt.
If you'd let me finish my list.
We just couldn't let you go on. I mean, the show's not all about lists.
No, Jack was much more important. Jack and Rachel.
Yeah,
Kramer.
Jack. So that was when Richard Coote was appointed. And then in December of that same year, in 95, Bellomont was governing New York. And he asked the trusty and well-beloved Captain Kidd to attack Thomas Tew, John Ireland, Thomas Wake, William Mays, and all others who associated themselves with pirates, along with any enemy French ships. So he's like, you go out, get these boys.
Why are you going to take on a lot of people?
And some French. If you see any French or any of these guys, get them. That was his mission, if he chose to accept it.
Did he?
Yes.
He
because
chose.
It would have been viewed as disloyalty to the crown to turn down this request, which would have had like quite a negative social stigma, and it made it difficult for him to say no. So he was like, yeah, no probs.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Wow, I'd love to kill John Ireland.
Yeah, I hate that guy. So,
which, confusingly enough, is also the name of an island in the Caribbean. So
John Ireland.
Which one do you want me to take out?
God, that's confusing. 4/5 of the cost for the venture was paid for by noble lords who were among the most powerful men in England. They have some great names as well. We've got the Earl of Orford, the Baron of Romney, the Duke of Shrewsbury.
These sound made up, and they sound great.
And Sir John Somers. Oh, John.
I'm so sorry,
so
John.
So sorry. You didn't get an earl or a baron or a duke. You're just a sir, you fucking idiot.
Is sir higher than those or lower? Different.
Different.
Just different.
There's no wrong answers here. There's no wrong titles.
It's not all about ranking, you know? Sometimes people just want to be friends with a funny name at the start of their name.
Yeah, preferably.
But earl is it's the coolest sounding, but I don't think it's as... Is it? Oh, I have no idea. I think there is a ranking, like, in the king or queen.
Yeah.
Like, I think they hand out those titles, don't they? And I think there is a ranking.
Oh, definitely a ranking.
I just don't
know. Oh, yeah.
Baron's like pretty, that's basic bitch, I think. Level.
I remember learning about this on Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego. And now I can't for the life of me remember the order. But I thank God for that game every day. I learned so much.
Are they making a movie or something about that?
God, I wish. I hope.
I reckon I read something about it recently. Where in the world has Carmen Sandiego been made into something?
Excellent.
Maybe a new game.
Eva Longoria plays her. Or Sofia Vergara. Or Jess Perkins.
I was going to say, you could do it.
Thank you. Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Totally. She was pretty... Looking back, she was probably a 20-something woman, Carmen.
I'm that.
I know. You are...
I'm 20-something.
Yeah.
Oh... My goodness.
I thought you could be that.
I think you're a lot more 20-something than even Longoring or the...
Yep.
Sophia and also,
Vergara. Sophia
Vergara. You could easily get lost in the world. Your geography is terrible.
It's so bad.
So you'd be great.
I'd be great at it.
For being lost.
Yeah.
Having to be found.
Yeah, but she's being, like, hunted, not rescued. Like, Yeah, she's a baddie. Anyway, guys, focus. So, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? No, so we had the Baron and the Sir and the John. So they've all put it. They've all put it.
The Sir and the John, two different guys. Thank you, Sir, and thank you, John. He's like Earl, Baron, Sir, John. John's like, fuck off, I'm a doctor.
It was a toilet.
So all of these people have put in money to get this venture out to sea.
You did say 4/5. What happened to the fifth?
I get to it?
4/5, the amount that you have to pay for dirty elves clothing.
Tipsy elves.
Tipsy elves. Yeah, that's what I meant. I got a little quirky nickname for them.
You dirty elves.
You dirty elves. You with your great clothing.
Anyway.
Dave's giving me the A-okay. Really A-okay signal.
Fucking hell.
I think we saved it.
You sure that's not called the really good signal?
Let's describe
it. So what
it.
You
okay.
do
you
is...
You make a circle with a thumb and your index finger.
Yeah.
Then the other three fingers sort
they flare
of
out.
Flare out.
Flare out is such a I don't think it's ever been described so nicely.
It's a bit like, imagine
a finger flare.
The pistol at the start of James Bond, where he walks in and you're going to shoot Bond.
Oh,
just
yeah.
make that symbol with your hand. Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah. And then let your other three fingers flare.
What? Oh, yeah.
And you got yourselves, you got yourselves the good symbol.
You went from going, what? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, to... I completely understand, and that is correct. Within,
yeah,
I reckon, about 3/5 of a second. Fuck, 4/5.
You idiot. Guys, okay, focus. Ready? Okay. So, Kid was presented with a letter of Mark, would it be? M-A-R-Q-U-E? Mark.
Yeah.
What else
that
could it be?
Seems like Mark.
Yeah, yeah, you have the Marquis.
Marquis? Yeah. Marcus?
So there's a letter of Mark, and it was signed personally by King William III of England. In the days, I'll tell you what it is, because I know that's the question you're going to ask.
Does anyone know who King William III is? I'm fascinated by these old kings and queens. I don't know anything about any of them. He sounds like one that was not very special. And he wasn't. That's why none of us remember him.
Probably.
Please do go on.
Yeah. I don't know anything about King William III. Do you know anything off the top of your head? I don't think I know. But there's so many of them.
What? No.
And this is the 17th century.
There was a Shakespeare play about Richard III, right?
Correct. Yep.
I almost got excited. Third? Let's work back to the other part of that. Oh, no.
No, wrong one.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So in the days of fighting sail, so like, you know, these days of being out in the ocean, a letter of marque was a government license authorizing a person known as a privateer to attack and capture enemy vessels and bring them before courts for condemnation and sale.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's the James Bond license to kill. Get that okay, everything's okay symbol going.
They're licensed to pirate, basically. They're still pirates, but they're like... licensed, they're like legal pirates, they're like good pirates.
They've done their TAFE course, they got their diploma, they've done their apprenticeship,
and
now they've got their letter of marque.
Yeah, they got their letter of marque, and it means you can go pirate, but in a safe and legal way.
Fuck yeah.
I know, it's so,
it feels like an oxymoron, legal pirating.
It definitely
pirating.
Is. Yeah. It definitely is. It's so weird. They're like licensed pirates. I was going to sneeze and I didn't.
Just for those at home who wanted just, to be kept up to date.
I was like, what was that weird inhale there? Just me having a little spasm. Anyway, so the letter reserved 10% of the loot for the crown. And Henry Gilbert's The Book of Pirates... Such a, what a legend for writing that book. The Book of Pirates. In his book, he suggests that the king may have fronted some of the money for the voyage himself. And apparently Kidd and his acquaintance, Colonel Robert Livingston, orchestrated the whole plan and paid for the rest. Kidd actually had to sell one of the ships that he had to help fund this quest. Yes.
I'm so sorry.
You Googled, didn't you?
I was thinking the whole time.
You piece of shit.
One of the Williams
you fucking...
is William of Orange. And it is William the Third.
Okay, great. Do you feel good about yourself now?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd said something and I would look so clever.
Orange is in the Australian town.
Yeah, that's right. He came from the Australian town of Orange.
Cool. That's so fun.
That's where is that where the big Elvis competition is?
In Orange?
Yeah, I think it is. Big Elvis, well, the Elvis lookalikes go there once a year.
Hmm.
Have a big old festival. The biggest Elvis festival in the world. I think it's in Orange.
If you're wrong, the people of Orange are going to be outraged.
Or
pleasantly surprised.
Pleasantly surprised. They didn't know about it. Start organising.
Okay, so they've got their new ship now. It's all paid for, and the ship is
by
called...
William III. Okay, William of Orange.
Okay, well, he paid a bit, mate. All right, Kidd also sold a ship for this one. So the new ship was called Adventure Galley. And it was well suited to the task of catching pirates. It weighed over 284 tons, and it was equipped with 34 cannons. It had oars, and there was 150 men on board. Now, the oars were a key advantage, as they enabled Adventure Galley to maneuver in battle when the winds had calmed and other ships were dead in the water. They could just be like, "Oh, let's keep moving," and they could, because they had oars.
Doesn't that feel like quite a basic feature that probably they all should have had?
All right, Dave. Well, you go back to the late 1600s and maybe suggest that.
Imagine having
it's sort of like saying every car should have heated seats. Like, fuck you. You affluent East little yeah. prick.
Hang
right,
on.
Matt?
Yeah.
Does every car not have heated seats?
No, what? You princess.
Show me one that doesn't.
Mine.
Well, okay.
Also, yours.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It fuck. Doesn't at all.
They're turning a ship into a rowboat. What a pain in the ass that must have been. How big must the oars
be? Have you not seen like the Viking big ships?
Oh, yeah.
Big oars, mate.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Big, they're not like little rowboat oars.
That would suck.
Yeah, it would. But there's 150 of them, so hopefully quite a few of them would be having a row.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is fun. This is a fun little part here. Okay, so Kidd took pride in personally selecting the crew, and he chose only those who he deemed to be the best and most loyal officers. And this is a little excerpt. I don't know who wrote this, but it's bloody great. It says, "As the Adventure Galley sailed down the Thames..." Right.
You said it right.
You nailed it. Have you been practicing in front of the mirror?
I just like I saw it and I went with my gut and I did it right. Thank God. As they sailed down the Thames, Kidd unaccountably failed to salute a navy yacht as custom dictated. The navy yacht then fired a shot to make him show respect, and Kidd's crew responded with an astounding display of I can never say this. Okay, basically they.
I'm so keen to hear what that word is.
I'll just show you in a sec. Responded with an astounding display by turning and slapping their backsides in disdain. So they mooned them and slapped their own bums.
That is awesome. And these bums were handpicked, remember? Before this voyage.
The kid was handpicking their bums?
Yeah.
That's no good. Good.
Well, you've done well in this interview, but I need you to turn around and now show me your bottom. Go on.
Do it.
Do it.
Off you go.
You could get this job. Remember, we're not paid, but we might get some loot.
Oh, no.
You will have to do some big rowing.
Yeah, there's a lot of big rowing. Now, because of Kidd's refusal to salute, the Navy vessel's captain retaliated by pressing much of Kidd's crew into naval service. So kind of like he's like, all right, fine. Well, you're all in the Navy now.
How did that happen? He just yelled that out, fine.
I don't know.
You're in the Navy now!
And they're like, oh,
fuck,
shit.
Checkmate.
So this left Kidd with like less crew.
That's so weird.
He just took some of them off the boat.
Yeah. So then he sailed to New York and captured a French vessel en route, as you do. Now, to make up for the lack of officers, Kidd picked up replacement crew in New York, and the vast majority were known and hardened criminals.
Some hardened asses.
They had hardened asses.
Lots of squats.
I got too excited about us saying the same thing there, didn't I?
No, just the right amount.
I slapped your leg and like recoiled in disgust and excitement.
Well, the big moment.
The big moment for us. Wowzers. Anyway, they're hardened crooks. Some of them undoubtedly former pirates. Amongst Kidd's officers was his quartermaster, Hendrik van der Heul. Now, the quartermaster was considered like a second-in-command to the captain. And van der Heul is also noteworthy because he may have been African or of African descent. And if that's true, if he was of African ancestry, this fact would make him the highest-ranking African pirate so far identified.
Oh.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Just a little fun fact.
And what's his name?
Hendrik van der Heul. It's a good name.
Solid name.
That is a very good name.
Very good name. In September of 1696, I meant to say 1696, Kidd weighed anchor and set course for the Cape of Good Hope. A third of his crew perished due to an outbreak of cholera, and the brand new ship developed many leaks. And he failed to find the pirates whom he'd expected to encounter off Madagascar.
You say he failed to find the leaks.
Where are they? Put some duct tape over it.
But he couldn't find any of the pirates.
He's like, surely there's going to be pirates off Madagascar, so that's where he headed, and there weren't any there. As it became obvious that his ambitious enterprise was
failing. You know who isn't Madagascar? Some of the members of the New York City Zoo.
Correct. Very good.
One of them played by Friendstar.
Mm-hmm. I'm not helping you here. Who played... Give me the character at least.
Chandler Bing.
No.
I know... No. He also played...
I am not doing the OK symbol right now.
Yeah.
He's in the O.J. Simpson movie.
Yeah.
And he's in this podcast about army stuff.
Is he?
What's his fucking name?
David
Schwimmer.
There we go.
Which would be handy in a sea type scenario.
Yeah, he'll just he could swim you away,
swim to shore.
Release the Schwimmer.
So as it became obvious that this expedition was failing, Kidd became desperate to cover its costs. But once again, he failed to attack several ships when given a chance, including a Dutchman and a New York privateer. Now, some of the crew deserted Kidd the next time the Adventure Galley anchored offshore, and those who decided to stay on made constant open threats of mutiny.
You're dead, Kidd. You're fucking dead.
I'm getting back on the ship, but I'm not happy about it.
On the way back in. Oh, man.
Every time he's like, hey, guys, I was just wondering, if anybody wanted to maybe give me a hand in sweeping the poop deck. And I'm like, oh, well, how about a mutiny? How's that sound? How's that sound?
Oh, no, I'll sweep it. I'll sweep it myself. I'll live to sweep.
Yeah, great. Okay.
Have a good weekend.
Yep, bye. That's how it went. That's how it went down.
And then when they leave, he's like, yeah, you better believe I'm still the boss.
Like, got him. Yeah. I showed them.
Fuck yeah, gotcha.
Because he's cool. Anyway, so then, that was happening. And then on the 30th of October in 1697, Kidd's gunner, William Moore, was on deck sharpening a chisel.
Oh no, this is not sounding good.
When a Dutch ship appeared. Ah, on the horizon, a Dutch ship, they would have said.
While sharpening a chisel, they were that casual about it. Ah, a Dutch ship.
It's interesting.
Can't do that.
Moore urged Kidd to attack the Dutchman. An act not only piratical.
Wow, that is a sick word.
Piracy.
I reckon basically means. It sounds like you've coined it yourself, Clement.
Piratical. But also certain to anger the Dutch-born King William. So he's like, no, I'm not going to attack.
William of Orange. There it is. He's a Dutch guy.
Oh, there you go.
That's why they call him that.
We don't have an issue with the Dutch, so no, I'm not going to attack the Dutch ship, is what he was saying.
Dutch are still very orange, right? All their sports teams are orange.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Netherlands.
Thank you for that.
I didn't know that was what the orange thing was about. So no, orange neither. Goes way back.
Yeah, I think they have one of the
orangest
landscapes.
Landscapes. What does the orange connect to?
I think Phil, it's like a national like colour.
Right. Just like we got bloody green and gold, baby.
And by the way, Matt, the Elvis Festival, it's in Parks.
That's what I said.
So
Parks also home
very
to
close
the
to orange
satellite dish.
William of Parks.
Ah,
honest, that's who you were thinking of.
You now looking up why orange is? Why can't you just let things go?
We live in an age where you can think of something
and then find
an answer within seconds.
But I've thought of something and written a report on it, and you don't need to be Googling things.
A little respect,
during
please.
My
okay, sorry, reports. I won't look.
But is orange? I need
now.
To look.
I want to know.
Yeah, quick, look it up.
All right, everyone, have a quick phone break.
But Jess, you keep going with the all report. Right.
Okay, so but this is an interesting part of the report.
Oh, I'm listening.
It sounds good. So the chisel is out.
Chisel's out, and he said, "Cap, we should attack that ship."
Hey, Cap, what do you reckon?
Oh, Cap, kid. And Kid refused. He's like, no. And he's called Moore a lousy dog. No, you lousy dog.
Well, I mean, he's a lousy dog because he's not a dog. You know?
Yeah, he's not good at being a dog at all.
he's such a shit dog, he's not even a dog.
Now, Moore retorted, if I'm a lousy dog, you have made me so. You've brought me to ruin and many more.
That is almost akin to, I know you are, but what am I? That's parody speak.
I've looked up the distance between Orange and Parks, so you'll understand why I thought that it might have been the same place. They're only 100 kilometres from each other.
Oh, is that all?
Which is small.
That's pretty small.
In such a big country.
Dave, now I want to know why it's orange. Before I tell you the exciting part of this story that you two have kept
exactly 100 kilometres.
Fucking hell.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can.
What are the odds?
I can, because I live in Australia. I know how.
Is that? I don't have no idea if that's not that far, is
it's not
it?
That far.
100 Ks.
Bit over
do
an
that
hour.
In an hour if you were travelling at 100 Ks an hour.
Correct, you would, yeah. But I imagine like you wouldn't be able to drive 100 Ks straight out of your driveway in orange. So let's
you
assume.
You start at 100.
Let's assume there's a couple of 50 zones along the way. And a couple of traffic lights.
Bloody nanny stayed up there.
And then once you get out on the bloody road,
yeah.
You get up to 100. You might even get 110 in some parts.
That's true.
And that way, actually,
well, that
shit,
covers off that the driveway.
Dave, have you figured out why orange is the colour of the Netherlands?
So the one reason is that the House of Orange Nassau is like the house of the royal family,
right? But we don't know. Yeah, I'm just curious as to why it became that. But maybe we can find that out in a future episode.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Yeah, it must have. There must be something.
But it could be
maybe
just
it's
like
a family name.
Yeah, I think it's a family name. For example, like you know, the House of Windsor.
Right, and it just coincidentally also was a color, or they invented the color orange. They're like, we got a whole bunch of yellow. We got a whole bunch of red. Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Okay, so now we're all satisfied. We've all had a Google. We're all happy now.
Look, I think we're close.
I'm happy. I reckon I'm all ears.
Are you?
Forget Dave.
It's all from that. Oh, look, I've Googled it further. It's just the House of Orange. That's it. That's
okay,
it.
So what was happening then? So we had the lousy dog.
Lousy dog. He's got a chisel, which I think is important. He said, hey, Cap, let's attack those orange bastards on the horizon. And Cap has said, shut up, you low dog. I'll do what I want.
Correct. Very
and
good.
He replied,
chisel to the phone.
No, no, no.
I know.
Yoda?
Raggy?
Dog.
Oh, I thought it was Yoda was on the ship.
No, he's trying to be a dog saying mutiny.
Mutiny, we should. Shut up, dog.
You're a lousy dog.
You're a lousy
not
dog.
A bad Yoda.
You're a pretty good Yoda. Mate, if I was you, I'd swap impressions.
Yeah. Or stop telling people it's a dog and just say it's Yoda. You can still do the same thing, I reckon. But just...
You're on the right track of doing a Yoda impression.
Anyway... So he says, I know you are, but what am I? And then Kid picks up and heaved an iron-bound bucket at Moore. And Moore fell to the deck with a fractured skull and died the following day.
Fuck yeah, checkmate. Shit. You do not challenge me, dog.
Now, 17th century English admiralty law allowed captains great leeway in using violence against their crew, but outright murder was not permitted. I love it so much.
It's a great
sentence. Like, hey, we'll turn a blind eye to a lot of things, but you can't bloody murder them.
I mean, Yeah. Outright murder. Do you think throwing a bucket at someone is outright murder? That feels like an unlucky pirate to me.
Mm.
That's where it comes from,
it
I
sounds
imagine.
Like a bit of an accident.
He was just trying to play fetch with the lousy dog.
He was just trying to, like, he was just
catch
gonna...
this bucket. Oh, shit.
He was just going to hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
He fell on it.
The odds of throwing a bucket at someone and killing them feel very remote.
Yeah, agreed.
But... And after all, he had a chisel, so he could have, he was coming at him. Yeah. Self-defense. He's off.
Yeah, there you
go. Packing heat.
David Schwimmer got him off again. OJ.
Well, apparently kid wasn't all that concerned about it because he...
If the bucket don't fit, you must acquit.
You have to quit. If you buck it,
yes.
You must acquit. Look, I should have stuck with my original, much catchier phrase. But I thought you were going to say there, like, that the guy who was murdered, he didn't really mind.
No, he mind. He was dead. He mind.
Oh, he mind.
Oh, he mind.
I was going to say he minded. That's right, isn't it?
He mound.
He mound.
Mound big time.
There is now a mound in his skull.
Oh, he mound. Well, yeah. There's a mound of dirt on top of him because he's buried somewhere because he's dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awful. They'll probably throw him overboard, to be honest.
Yeah, probably right. Which is a nicer way to go.
Hmm. More environmentally friendly.
Yeah, exactly right. And then fish food.
He'd be swimming with the fishes.
Swimmer with the fishes.
Anyway, yeah. So
the sentence was that kid doesn't mind.
He wasn't too concerned about it because, and he said to somebody else that he had good friends in England that will bring me off for that.
So I know, like, a good lawyer. I've got a great
lawyer.
He's
like, yeah, I got connections. They're not going to get me in trouble for this. And then we sort of get into the section that's about some accusations that were made of piracy about him. So at this stage, keep in mind that he's a licensed pirate.
Right, he's failing though, is that right?
No, he's doing fine. It's just his crew don't like him.
His crew, but some of them have died of dysentery and they haven't found the guys they're supposed to get.
They had cholera. It's different.
Pardon
it's
me.
It's fine. And that it's not that they were, yeah, they were just supposed to go out and just hunt pirates and the pirates were getting a bit sneaky. You know, like he was still doing his job and he was still a licensed, my point is that he's a licensed pirate, but people are starting to make accusations of him being a naughty pirate.
He's not a licensed pirate. He's a naughty pirate.
He's one of the naughty ones.
Hey, so, you guys, can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Earlier in the episode,
yes.
I used the term basic bitch.
Yes, you did.
You guys didn't pull me up on it. Does that mean I used it correctly?
Look, I'm not sure.
I have no recollection. I was probably Googling William of Orange.
Well, you were talking about being a baron as a basic bitch.
I thought...
Have you been thinking about that this whole time?
Not the whole time. And I'm like, did I get away with that?
I don't know if you got away with it.
But then I was remembering that this has all been recorded, so maybe I haven't gotten away with it at all.
Not at all.
And someone's hearing going, geez, he does not know what that means.
No.
Hey, don't worry about it. I've got some lawyers in England. They could probably get you off this.
They could bring me off this. Which just sounds like a hand job again.
Everything comes back to a hand job with this episode. As it should.
I'm bringing you off. And then we're going to look at fighting those charges.
What a night. Acts of savagery.
Which is also a rank a king can give you.
Acts of savagery on kids' part were reported by escaped prisoners who told stories of being hoisted up by the arms and beaten with a drawn cutlass. So, like, a cutlass is a sword, right? So if you're being beaten with a sword, is that just a stabbing? I don't know how you can beat someone with a sword. Hi-ya!
You're using it wrong.
Like the flat edge of it, just like slapping him with it a bit.
I don't know, you just look at someone and being like, you're the worst fucking pirate I've ever seen. Yeah. It's much better if you do this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
God.
Oh, interesting.
They die much quicker this way. No, I'm pretty sure, does that just mean that he's just slapping him? He's like turkey slapping him with his sword.
I'd say turkey slapping with his sword. That's not good at all.
Stand by what I said.
I don't stand by what you said. So anyway, yeah, he's hitting him with his cutlass. Apparently. And he was also declared a pirate very very early in his voyage by a Royal Navy officer to whom he'd promised 30 men or so. Apparently, Kidd sailed away during the night to preserve his crew rather than subject them to the Navy. So again, it was that situation where they were just going to take them and put them in the Navy. And he was like, yeah, great. You can have like 30 of my boys. Run, run, start the boat. But you can't, like, it doesn't have an engine.
And they can't run anywhere either.
They're rowing very quietly.
They run into the water. Shit. This has not worked out how I imagined.
Not smart.
Everyone's in trouble apart from David Schwimmer.
Swim.
Now, I looked up how to pronounce this and I've already forgotten how to, so I'm probably going to do it wrong. But on the 30th of January in 1698, he took his greatest prize, which was the 400-ton Quetta merchant. Definitely wrong. It was in an Indian ship hired by an Armenian merchant that was loaded with satin, gold, silver, an incredible variety of East Indian merchandise, as well as extremely valuable silks. The captain was an Englishman named Wright who had purchased passes from the French, from the French East India Company, promising him the protection of the French crown. After realizing the captain of the vessel was English, Kidd tried to persuade his crew to return the ship to its owner because he's like, "Oh no, that's okay. He's like one of us, or he's fine." But then they refused, claiming that their prey, which is a weird word, was perfectly legal because Kidd was commissioned to take French ships, and this ship counted as French if it had French passes. So they're like, well, it's French, so we can take it.
That's a real loophole.
Big loophole.
Yeah, these pirates are way smarter than I imagined they were.
But also I like that Kidd's like, guys, come on. Hey, how about we... let him go. He's English.
Go on, give him the keys.
Come on, that's enough. And then they're like, nah, we're taking it. He's like, come on, guys. Hey.
I'm really sorry I turkey slapped you with my sword.
Hey.
If I just give you the keys, will you just forget about it?
It's like a mum pleading with her, like she's got triplet boys who are just little shits. She's like, come on, Tyson, get down from... Why are you on the bench again? Get down. Hey. You know, it's like that. That's how I'm imagining it.
Stop stealing that ship,
Tyson. Stop stealing that ship, Tyson. Tyson, stop hitting your brother.
What are the other triplets' names?
Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin.
Oh, they really ran out of the steam there.
Yep.
Wait, so you're happy with Tyson and Gary?
Yeah.
And then to you, Kevin is running out of steam. Jeez, I had momentum up early.
Oh, boy.
Tyson, wow. Gary, yes. Kevin, oh, no.
Wow. Tyson, wow.
How original. Sorry, he's stealing ships and his name's Tyson. Wow, didn't see that coming.
So, in an attempt to maintain his tenuous control over his crew, Kidd gave in and he kept the ship. And when the news of this reached England, it confirmed Kidd's reputation as a pirate, and various naval commanders were ordered to pursue and seize the said Kidd and his accomplices for the notorious piracies they had committed. So them taking on a ship that was captained by an Englishman who's like one of them, the Navy were like, now you're officially a bad boy. And not one of the cool bad boys, not like Hollywood's bad boys, just an actual bad boy.
Who are Hollywood's bad boys?
Okay, Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr.
Because he brought those dogs into Australia.
Yeah, and the drugs.
On the drugs.
Robert Downey Jr. because of the drugs.
Right.
Bad boys. Joaquin Phoenix.
Right, bad boys.
Mel Gibson because of the many slurs.
Russell Crowe because of the phone throwing.
Oh, yes.
That was a good one. Bad boys. What you gonna do?
Will Smith.
Martin Lawrence.
They are literally Hollywood's bad boys.
And Bad Boys 2 as well.
I like Bad Boys 2 better, to be honest.
Oh, back in the habit. Knew that'd get her.
Bad Boys 2, back in the habit. Okay, so Kidd kept the French passes from the ship that they'd taken over because he thought, he kind of thought that would, like, if anybody questioned him as to why he'd taken it, he'd be like, oh, no, they had French passes, they're French. And then everybody would be like, oh, that's okay, then you're not a bad pirate, you're a good licensed pirate. So he held on to those and he renamed the ship Adventure Prize and he set sail for Madagascar. So he...
I love the idea of all this ship renaming. Do they have like a ceremony?
I don't know.
He comes out and he goes, I've decided to call it Adventure Prize!
Or he just sends out a newsletter around the ship or like...
They all read it and go,
Guys, just put your breakfast down for a sec. Okay, quick things. Number one, Johnson's birthday. Happy birthday, Earl. We'll have cake after breakfast. Number two,
Who, you can stab with cutlasses.
Whose turn was it to sweep the poop deck? Because I have done it 8 times. There's 150 of us on here. Come on, guys. We're going to shed a load of it.
Mutiny.
Oh, yeah, all right, I'll do it again. I'm just saying a little bit of help would be nice.
All right, anyway, call off the mutiny.
Thank you. And thirdly, I've changed the name of the ship. No, stop groaning. It's fine. I know. The other one was too hard to pronounce for a girl in 400 years' time to pronounce on a podcast. We'll figure out what podcasts are at a later
time. I'll start groaning because I've got to get a new tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
I wonder if they voted for it, you know, or did he just decide?
All right, we've got two finalists, Adventureland and... Tyson. Wonder who thought of that one. Good one, Tyson.
Or we could come to a compromise.
Get everyone to
Adventure
vote
prize.
Tyson? Good.
Tyson it is.
He says yes. Tyson says yes.
He's the boat now.
Everyone in Tyson.
Everyone on Tyson.
I'm going to sweep his poop deck. Then we'll jump in.
All aboard. Anyway. So they headed for Madagascar, and they got there in April of 98. And here he found the first pirate of his voyage, Robert Culliford. Does that name ring a bell at all?
Yes.
The dirty dog.
He stole his ship years before, and he was aboard his boat, which was called Mocha Frigate. Mocha. Anyway,
should have called it Tyson.
Should have called it Tyson. There's two contradictory accounts of what happened here. According to the General History of the Pirates, which is a fantastic book that was published more than 25 years after the event, Kidd apparently made that was quite peaceful, and they had drinks, and they were like, "Hey, we're buddies, woo!" Right, it was all fine. Another account appears to be based on the testimony of a couple of Kidd's crewmen, and it says that. He didn't know that Culliford only had about 20 crew with him, and so he sort of felt like they were ill-manned and ill-equipped to take on the ship. So they waited until their other two ships in their fleet arrived, waited for reinforcements, and then they attacked.
Then they attacked Culliford.
Yes. Yep. But then his crew, despite their previous eagerness to seize any available prize, they refused to attack Culliford and threatened instead to shoot Kidd. So it's like you just it's a mess.
Right. So it could be either a party.
Yeah. Or
not a party.
Not a party at all.
Okay.
Very strange. Now both accounts though, depending on which story you go for, both accounts though do agree that most of Kidd's men now abandoned him for Culliford. Only 13 remained with Adventure Galley, which is the main ship.
Do you reckon Tyson left?
Oh, definitely Tyson. Oh, first any to chance go. To jump ship or jump Tyson, I should say. Anyway, deciding to return home, Kidd left the Adventure Galley behind, ordering her to be burnt because she'd become worm-eaten and leaky. No, there's no reason to set fire to her. Before burning the ship, he was able to salvage every last scrap of metal, such as hinges. Got to get in and get all those hinges. Get all the doors off. Do they have doors, do you reckon? Yeah. Well, what else would there be hinges on? Windows. There it is. Sorry.
Ooh, one of those window hinges.
With the royal, the loyal remnant of his crew, he returned to the Caribbean aboard the Adventure Prize. So they're heading in.
So did he not just burn that ship?
No, they burnt Adventure Galley, the first ship.
Oh, sorry,
they still have Adventure Prize. So that's right. What
but
on.
They kept the hinges. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah,
they once had 2,000 pounds in sterling, and now they're getting... Grab the hinges!
Get him.
Oh, shit.
Now, prior to returning to New York City, Kidd learned that he was a wanted pirate and that several English men of war were searching for him. Realizing that Adventure Prize was a marked vessel, he ditched it in the Caribbean and continued towards New York aboard a sloop. I looked up a sloop. It's just like a small ship. There's another
fun
boat.
Name.
Don't know where he got it, but...
Sloop.
He's got a sloop. He deposited some of his treasure on Gardner's Island, hoping to use his knowledge of its location as a bargaining tool. Like if anybody comes at him, he could be like, well, I know where there's treasure.
I know where the hinges are.
I know where the hinges are.
There's at least 36 hinges. That's... Don't murder me.
That would work.
I'm worth more to you alive.
Now, Belamont, who was an investor in the original Journey, he was away in Boston, and aware of the accusations against Kidd, he was quite afraid of being implicated in piracy himself and knew that presenting Kidd to England in chains was his best chance to save himself. So he lured Kidd into Boston with false promises of clemency and then ordered him arrested on the 6th of July, 1699. Kidd was placed in Stone Prison, spending most of the time there in solitary confinement. His wife, Sarah, or Triple P as you like to call her.
Hey, as history likes to call her.
She was also imprisoned, but I don't know why.
So Triple P's in P.
Yeah, she's quadruple P.
Thank you.
Hey, is anyone else getting excited about the turn of the century coming up? Every time you say a year, I'm like...
It's so close to 1700.
Ooh, will there be the 18th century?
It's so exciting.
Will he live to see the day?
The conditions of Kidd's imprisonment were extremely harsh and appeared to have driven him at least temporarily insane. Just had a bout of insanity, as we all do. By then, Belamont had turned against Kidd and other pirates, writing that the inhabitants of Long Island were a lawless and unruly people, protecting pirates who had settled among them. So after over a year, Kidd was sent to England for questioning by Parliament, and they found him, I like they said, they found him politically useless. So the two sides of government were sort of trying to see how they could use this to their benefit, but there wasn't really a way to use it. So instead they just, made him stand trial before the High Court and, for charges of piracy on high seas and for the murder of William Moore. I mean, it's just like he threw a bucket. I mean,
oh, the bucket guy.
Bucket guy was another William Moore.
He had a bloody chisel.
Yeah. Now, whilst awaiting trial, Kidd was confined in the infamous Newgate Prison and wrote several letters to King William requesting clemency. Just like, hey, Will again. Quick thing. How are you? Firstly, not to be rude. How are you? Are you well? I'm good. Thank you for asking. I assume you did. Hey, quick thing. Clemency. Circle Y or M.
Where are we at on that?
Where are we at on the clemency? Can I have it? Please.
If I can have it, I'd love it.
I'd love a little bit of clemency.
You know, if you've got any spare.
Got any spare clemency lying around. My way. Anyway.
I could use some.
The saddest thing was the king couldn't read. Completely wasted time.
He was Dutch.
Mm.
Can't read. Notoriously.
Anti-readers.
Anti-readers. They hate it. Now, Kidd had two lawyers to assist in his defence. He was shocked to learn at his trial that he was charged with murder. He did not know that he was being charged with murder. He's like, what?
These lawyers sound pretty bad. But also, they've come in, they've cancelled him, they've never even said what the charge is. He's thinking that it's like, you know, theft or something. And he walks in.
Theft
murder.
Of a bucket.
David Schwimmer didn't say anything about this.
Yeah, no. He was like, oh, murder, what? But yeah, dude, you murdered someone. And he was found guilty on all charges. So it was murder and 5 counts of piracy. He was hanged on the 23rd of May, 1701.
He made it!
Yeah.
You just...
Ooh, sure.
You're celebrating somebody getting hanged.
No, making it to the 1700s.
Oh, cool. Do you want to know where he was hanged?
Yeah.
Ooh.
At Execution Dock.
That makes sense to me.
Does make sense.
That adds up.
That's in London. During the execution, this is awful, the hangman's rope broke and Kidd was hanged on the second attempt. Wasn't there a thing where if it didn't work,
yeah,
then it's like an
America,
act of God?
Wasn't it,
or is
like,
that America?
Yeah.
Well, this is London. There we go. I was like, well,
was it? I think that maybe was in one of our past stories.
Yeah, there's a thing like that, isn't there?
Yeah, is that a real thing?
I vaguely remember that. Anyway, but it doesn't apply here because they definitely hanged him and his body was gibbeted. Do you know what that means?
Gutted. Right.
No, that's what I thought. And then I was like,
took his giblets out.
I'm going to click on the giblets. Hyperlink to figure it out.
Oh,
but I don't
great.
Want to.
Exciting. What is it?
But it's not that. It's just that they publicly display your body. And so it was just hanging over the Thames for 3 years as a warning to future would-be pirates.
That is a long time.
That's a long time.
And what happens at the end of the 3 years? That's long enough.
That's going to be a
there'd
smelly...
You would have thought there'd be enough rotting that it just it would fall off.
It's just decomposed and yuck. Don't act it out, Maddie. Anyway.
It's hard to act out decomposition.
It is hard. It's something that takes a while to act out because it's just such a slow process. Oh, there it is.
Arm
falling
off.
Oh, I saw it. So Kidd's backers, all the people that that put money into
this. What about the Lords, the Sir, the Earl and John?
Well, they were quite embarrassed by his trial. And far from rewarding his loyalty.
Oh, no. They're so embarrassed. Ooh, our man was murdered. Ooh, embarrassing.
This is even before. So they could have probably stepped in. So far from rewarding his loyalty, they participated in the effort to convict him by depriving him of the money and information which might have provided him with some legal defence. So in particular, the two sets of French passes that he had kept were missing at his trial. So they could have actually been kind of helpful. They were found years later, just misfiled with other government papers in a London building.
Whoopsie!
Oh, did I lose those? Whoops. Along with the papers, many goods were brought from the ship and soon auctioned off as pirate plunder. And they were never mentioned in the trial at all either.
Pirate plunder.
Hmm. Now, for years, people and treasure hunters have tried to locate the
mysterious missing hinges.
No, the ship that he abandoned, the one that I can't pronounce, that then became Adventure Maze.
Maze.
It does.
It was reported on December 13, 2007, that a wreckage of a pirate ship abandoned by Captain Kidd in the 17th century has been found by divers in shallow water off the Dominican Republic. Now, the water in which the ship was found was less than 10 feet deep and was only 70 feet off Catalina Island, just to the south of La Romana on the Dominican coast. So it's like not far off the coast.
And one found it.
There it is.
People have been looking for 300 years.
Like, oh, hang on, what's that? Oh, there it is. They found it. Oh. So they found the ship.
How tall was it? Was it 9 feet tall? Because it was in 10 feet of water.
I mean,
like it could have been pretty visible.
I don't think, to be perfectly fair, Maddie, I don't think it was just a full ship. I think I just found part of it.
I'm picturing the full ship.
The full ship.
It's ready to go. Like, if you bring it out of the water, pop it on top.
Just let it dry out ready a bit, to go. Do you reckon? Because it's probably a bit waterlogged.
It's there floating. It's just
sitting there. Just sitting there. So, yeah, that concludes the story of Captain William Kidd.
Well done, JP. But do you think that he was hard done by?
Look.
Because it sounds like that he was doing a bit of murdering himself.
Well, he did a murder.
An eye for an eye, a bucket for a bucket.
He did one murder. I mean, that's
But he did
not
a bit of piracy, though.
Yeah. I think he was probably a little bit spineless in that he was like, guys, just like me. And they were like, nah. You know? That's what I think. Nah.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because it's such a different time. Because they let them do so, like, the funny the lines they draw. This is fine. This is worthy of you being dead.
I like the idea of licensed pirates, though. That's super funny to me.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Anyway, so, yep, that's my report, which brings us to the end of our first week back in the studio.
What a way to come back to the studio.
Yep.
Bit of piracy, couple of buckets. It's all happening.
Shitting in cannons.
So
shitting
good.
In cannon.
Poop cannons.
Mm. I love pirates. I love the story. I love
pirates.
That's
what I'm
going
to call my butt from now on, Matt.
Your poop cannon.
My poop cannon.
Nah.
Don't reckon?
I don't reckon.
Yep, the old poop cannon's a bit backed up. It's going to take it out back. Get the ball out of there.
Fire in the hole.
That's what I was trying to think of, and I couldn't think of what this phrase was. I was going to be like, land home?
That's a different term.
That's a violent. It's a violent shot. Shots fired!
Anyway, we need to do what we do at the end of every episode,
which is thank some lovely people that support our show through Patreon, patreon.com/dogoonpod. You make the episodes possible for us to keep happening every single week. And
we keep happening.
Oh, yeah. And we'd like to thank one person from each episode.
What? Do you mean one person each?
And I would like to thank, James Bond. That's the person I'd like to thank from a few.
I would like to thank Queen Elizabeth. Matt.
Matt, who would you like to thank from an episode?
Willy Wills.
From episode 2.
Great. Okay. Well, that's us then. And
episode 4, Dave.
Good night.
Right. Episode 5. Anyway, whatever.
Who cares?
Certainly, I don't.
No one here does. Dave, kick it off.
So what we do is we actually thank one person each from our Patreon, and I would like to thank someone that is from North Hollywood, California.
What?
Imagine putting that on your address. You're filling out forms. North Hollywood.
Is it Brad Pitt?
It is the original bad boy himself. You know, he's done the dogs. He's done the trucks.
He's done the dogs. Get out of my head, Matt.
Oh, I'm so sorry to this guy.
Only you and I would have thought that.
Hollywood bad boy or bad girl,
oh.
I'd like to thank Chase Takow.
Which
is an incredible, like, ready for an action movie.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're an aspiring actor.
Definitely.
Or accomplished actor that I am not aware of.
Did you say inspiring
actor?
Yeah,
you did. Which is also true,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, I bet. No, I just wasn't sure which angle it was.
I'm inspired by Chase Takow. Thank you so much for your support.
That is a sick name.
We would love to go to North Hollywood, wouldn't we, and do an episode?
Oh, yes. My God, yes, absolutely.
What? I don't know. I know Hollywood. I know what North Hollywood is. Is that where the Fresh Prince lived? Is that Bel Air?
I'm actually sure.
I'm just bagging things into everything. It's fine. I'm a professional. I would like to thank someone as well, if that's okay with you.
Yeah,
do you mind?
I'm into it.
Would you like that?
I'd love it.
Okay, great. I would like to thank from all the way from Wyoming.
What's something? What do you know about Wyoming?
It starts with a W.
What's a big? Is that a town or a state?
Why are you asking me these questions?
I'm just curious. David, no, because he knows about geography. I wasn't really asking you, Dave. Wyoming.
I know
Wyoming Ryder is quite a good actress.
Oh, shocker! Well, I think it's a state, but it's probably also because they all have different ones. But is that the state name? Is that written there?
Yes.
All the way from Wyoming.
Fuck, I'm so sorry.
It feels like I should know something about Wyoming.
Okay, well, can I just thank the person who probably knows heaps about Wyoming?
We should ask
them. She lives there. I would like to thank Amber McDaniel.
Oh my God. Is this the best name ever, Dave?
That's such a good name, right? Amber McDaniel. Are you looking up Wyoming now, are you?
No.
You are a little bit, aren't you?
There is a Wyoming in Australia as well. Interesting.
I think they have a massive Elvis lookalike festival. Is that correct? Am I?
Dave, that was very quick.
Am I talking out of turn?
Matt was not listening.
Do you know the capital of Wyoming?
Cayenne.
Cheyenne.
That's where Cayenne. I'm pretty sure that's where Amber's from. Have a look.
You would pronounce that Cayenne.
Oh, yep. My God. Stop insulting Amber's.
I'm not insulting her. I'm loving every minute of it.
I feel like I would be. Anyway, thank you so much, Amber. You're an absolute champion.
You're a legend.
If you guys don't mind, can I thank someone as well?
Oh,
I'm
my
afraid
goodness.
That's all we have time for.
I want to complete the triptych.
Triptych. Matt, please. I would love for you to thank someone.
I'd love to thank... This guy's name starts with a blaze of glory, and it finishes in the most common name in the world. But maybe not the most common name in the world, but maybe the most common name in Australia.
Bon Jovi?
Curtis Smith.
Ah, Curtis is fun. Smith is also fun.
It's fun.
Have you seen the film Mr. and Mrs. Smith? That's a fun film.
This guy's British. He's from Dorset. I don't know if that's how they're acting. Dorset.
I don't think that's right.
Isn't it?
Nah.
I'm from Curtis Smith from Dorset.
Are you doing Hot Fuzz right now?
Not sure.
You kind of are. Anyway.
Curtis Smith from Dorset.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Fun. Good stuff.
Let me know if that's right, Curtis.
Thanks, Curtis.
Did I nail it? Smith Dog. Hey, I would love to know if you're okay with... It feels like you've sort of got the short straw having me be the one to thank you. I bet you wanted Dave. I bet you wanted Dave, and I bet you...
Should we just get Dave to do all of them?
We will start taking requests on who we'd like to thank.
No, that's too complicated.
I know, it's so hard.
It's so hard.
Dave, can you just come up with a nice little play on words for Curtis
Smith,
not
fair, because Amber didn't get one then.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is too much.
Amber, I'll never wait to give Amber a compliment.
What?
Amber's it's yellow on the traffic lights.
Oh my God, that was so dumb.
Or?
No, it was dumb.
I would like to thank Curtis for paying us the courtesy of supporting the show.
Leave it to Dave. I touched Dave's hand then accidentally. Sorry, Dave.
That's fine. Enjoyed it.
Anyway, stop, Matt, stop. You're doing your thinking face. You've done enough damage. That's the end. We're done.
I've just noticed that Amber might also be Aaron McDaniel. So I'd also like to make sure Aaron gets his love too.
Okay, thanks,
Amber and Aaron.
Stop winking at Dave.
I will not.
I'm giving Matt the good job signal, Dave, which is similar to the James Bond thing
please,
we discussed earlier.
Please wrap it up because
that is the
me.
End of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in contact with us at any time at Do Go On Pod for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can get in contact, email dogoonpod@gmail.com, patreon.com/dogoonpod if you would like Matt to thank you and possibly a second name that probably has nothing to do with your name, like Aaron. I'd like to pay the listener the courtesy by wrapping up this episode. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week with another report. But until then, we will say goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, if I could just have your attention for just a few moments.
Matt.
Get onto us at Do Go On Pod on all these social media. Love you all.
Dave already did that.
Look, I'm just saying, get on to us and address it to me.
Bye has to be the last thing they hear, so hurry up and wrap up.
Laters.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.